with Alex Acosti. It's all about street talk with some of the biggest global icons, leaders, entertainers, motivational speakers, surfers, life coaches, relationship experts, social advocates, and extraordinary friends as they street themselves, their experiences, and share their unfiltered thoughts about life and food. I believe in stripping the lives and empowering the mind through the freedom of expression. I'm unapologetic about being open, so I motivate my guests to tell it like it is and help my listeners build a presence of mind while finding their voice. So it's all about the best, you know, authentic conversations with real people about real life experiences. So let's keep it.
Can you hear me? Oh, what a relief.
Well, oh my goodness, that was really hard. But welcome to the Naked Talk with Alex Kurji, and I'm so excited to have you here.
Me more. Me more. I've been listening for half an hour and asking, Alex, can you hear me?
No, I couldn't hear you, and that means that nobody else could hear you. So we knew you were here, and you've been here for a while. But I understand how technology can be. I mean, we all know that technology is great, but also technology can be a pain sometimes. So, and I have that struggle too sometimes. Even sometimes I'm, you know, I mean, we're dealing with those issues, so I get it and I understand. But, you know, it's great to have you here, and let's just have a great show, right? So, first of all, thank you so much for just being able to cut out some time. I know that it's, you know, pretty late right there where you are in the UK, but it's just great to have you here and to be able to have a great conversation with you. Now, I know that there's so many people listening because I've got messages from people. You know, they wonder where my guest is, but my guest is here right now, so you all can relax and chill and just have some fun. Now, you know, for those who know you, first of all, let me ask you this. What is the weather like where you are in the UK?
Today has been a pretty dire day. It has been raining all day long.
Oh wow. It's been raining here as well in Lagos, Nigeria. So so I guess we're feeling the same. We're having the same weather pretty much. But it's great to have you here. And even though it's been raining cats and dogs right there where you are and right where I am, we don't give up, right? So we're gonna have a great show. Now I know that there are so many people. I mean, if we ask your friends, right, or people who've had the privilege to work with you, your clients, and the people that you coach and all of that, they may all have an idea of who they think Gabriela Guglielminot, and I hope I get your surname correctly. I don't know.
Yes.
I know I have an accent, but I love it. What did you say?
You pronounce it very well. Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. I feel you know, I have this dream that I wish I speak other, like, foreign international languages. So saying your last name feels almost like I can pretend that I, you know, I have a really fancy Italian accent. Oh my goodness, I'm going to go work on that. But, you know, just for the sake of those who are listening and who may not have had the privilege to come across you or your work, who would you say Gabriella really is? I mean, how would you describe yourself?
Okay, I think I'm a visionary for first and foremost, because since very little I was dreaming of bringing over some change, because I could feel that the situation on the planet wasn't the way I wanted to be. So first, definitely a visionary, and then I think I am an explorer. Not so much possibly a geographical explorer, but definitely an explorer of life.
Amazing. You know, something you said there caught me. You said, you know, not necessarily, you know, not just a geographical explorer, but an explorer of life. Wouldn't that really be great if all of us really were just inquisitive and curious about life and, you know, wanting to explore it and learn more every day? Wouldn't life be so great if we could just all really be like you and just try to learn so much about life, right? But let me ask you this. I know that you have been on an interesting life path, or should I say journey, flying as an author, you know, as a speaker, as a visionary, as you said, and, you know, just the amazing work that you do. But I do know that you took a bold decision to travel to Antarctica in 2008. Now, why did you back in that journey? What exactly was it that sort of triggered you to want to make that sort of bold move? And I call it bold move because I cannot imagine myself, you know, just wanting to go to, you know, to the extreme end of the world, if I want to call it that. I don't know if it's at the extreme end, you know, in terms of my map. I don't have my map right now, but I do know it's really far from where I am. So what was it exactly that triggered you wanting to sort of make that exploration?
Yeah, I was coming out of a very acrimonious and tough divorce, and I was emotionally, psychologically destroyed as a woman. And after finishing all the legal process, literally in a question of a day or two, I came across this speaker from Australia in an event in London who was, selling basically the opportunity to go with him to Antarctica. He had been himself to the North and South Pole. And the reason for taking people to Antarctica was for him to show them such an extreme place, and also to put them in a situation where they could really test themselves. And 2 years earlier, I had trained in neuro-linguistic programming, which is all about the mind and how to maximize, you know, the power of the mind and get results in life. So I felt that it was very intriguing for me to put myself under test again. I mean, the divorce process was pretty much of a test, but that would have been a test that it would have tested my soul. So, and also I needed to rekindle my spirit, and for me traveling is a big turn on, so I thought that it was worthwhile to jump and go.
You know, I'm thinking about it really, and I can imagine how, you know, I think it's such a brilliant idea, first of all, for, you know, the speaker wanting to test people and say, you know, hey, how about we go on this journey today? And I don't know, I think I'm very brave, or I assume I'm very brave, but I don't know if I'm that brave, you know, just to get up, like you said, jump at it, you know, just jump and go for it. But maybe that's something that we all should put in our bucket list. Maybe not going to Antarctica, but at least stretching ourselves, you know, just a little bit to test And I can imagine just you having to deal with so much in terms of emotionally and having to deal with divorce that you probably just needed a change of activity. And I can understand what you're saying, because I've been in a situation where when my family house got burned and we lost everything, and really that actually really started my sojourn into finally deciding to face my, my career as an actor. I decided to go for a reality TV show, which was something I probably would never have done. But again, maybe putting yourself out there was a test, because, it was my own test, to put it that way, so I pretty much understand what you're saying. But what was it that you loved the most about being there? I mean, there you are in that frozen wilderness, right? What was it that you loved? Did you love anything about being there, by the way?
Well, you see, Alex, I needed to refresh my mind and my spirit, so I thought I would choose a cool place, to chill out. jokes aside, for me, Antarctica represented a chance to be immersed in nature. And I knew that the contact with nature, direct contact with nature, in a way that is pretty pristine over there, it would have really, it could heal me. And so that's why I think I decided to go. Yes, of course, it was a pretty crazy idea. And for me, more than anything else, I think it was the real stretch. It wasn't so much the physical stretch that it could have been for me, but it mentally, to dare to say to yes to my spirit and to do something, to go something so extremely expensive. And it was almost like to answer... to say yes to life again, after so long of such a long time of, let's say, deprivation, but deprivation not so much not so much physical, deprivation of allowing to be myself. And, when you don't allow to be yourself, you die.
Yes, and I can picture that, because and I understand what you mean when you said deprivation, like deprivation of living life at your own pace, right? You've been able to decide what you want to do, how you want to do it, your own way, right? You're living life your own way, so I can imagine that. Not necessarily, and it is a bold, and I'd say it's a bold move in every way, because I can imagine it was an expensive journey, so you're thinking to yourself, you just got divorced, but then it's almost like, I want my life back. I want to reclaim my life back. I want to do something bold. It's kind of like, that free, hey, whatever's going to happen, I just want to experience this. And I think it's an experience of a lifetime, because not everyone's going to experience that. So you do have that. But what is the one thing you would say that you like the least about being there? What is it that you probably didn't really like? I mean, because I can imagine that adapting might have been difficult, or was it in any way?
I think for me, the healing part of the journey was the fact of being in nature. Nature always had a very strong effect on me since ever. So, Even in my daily life, if I have I'm upset by something, or there's some of disruption motion within myself, I go out and walk in the woods, and I regain my balance. So back then I was really distraught. I needed a reset button, when you take your computer to the computer shop and they wipe it all out, they reinstall the operating system, and that's exactly what Antarctica did to me.
And I can, and that's just totally, okay, I'm hearing a little bit of feedback, so I don't know, I was trying to figure out where that sound was coming from, but just thinking about all of this, right, in terms of stretching your limits, right, and I know that obviously did, like, what, you know, just from what you said, how does that now correlate with your everyday life now? I mean, are there certain values that you sort of picked up from that expedition that you now apply in your everyday life that you're applying now?
I actually put all the lessons that I learned over there in my book, Antarctic Odyssey, A New Beginning. And the purpose for it is that I wrote the book 3 years later for a different reason, because it wasn't my first choice. But having written it 3 years later, allow me, in a way, to have matured or digested the lessons, and so I could put them all in the book. And the purpose was mainly was for to remind myself, you know, what to do in those instances, in those situations in life when you forget that you have been to Antarctica, in those situations where you feel low, in those situations where you don't know what to do next, etc. And so, I at the end of it, I listed all the lessons that that came to the fore during the trip, and then I also put for all those moments in life where, you know, any of these lessons work, because there is always, life always throws at you the unpredictable. And so I have a lesson that is the kind of the jolly, you know, like when you play poker, is the lesson that is to sing that is the resetter par excellence. This is the final actual line of the book, which says, life is a journey of the heart. The mind is the only helper, and the soul is the adventurer. And this, for me, sums up the fact that, you know, in those moments when you are lost, you feel low, or you don't know anymore who you are, because they do come for everybody, you know, is a reminder to remember, you know, the spirit that you are, you know, and how in this life journey, you know, we can remember that, you know, it's not, it's our spirit that counts, it's our spirit that has this journey in a human experience. And it might sound very far-fetched, but actually it can be very practical, you know, or it's definitely a major resetter for me in those moments when, you know, tricky moments of life.
Yes, and it's, you know, I feel like it's great to have documented that journey. Right, like you said, you know, to remind yourself or just how far you've come. And we all need that, right? Because we have those days when we're not feeling as great as we are. Sometimes we forget our accomplishments, we forget the things that we do. And sometimes we even minimize or belittle the things that we've done, right? I remember trying to chat with you and someone else somewhere might say, oh, please, it's just Antarctica, it's another country, or is it a country? Or somewhere, it's a place, right? But the thing is, yes, it's a place, but have you been there, right? So I can't just look at it and call it, because I haven't been there. I don't know if I would be able to. It's not just about going there, like you said, but it's the experience, the healing, the nature, just to be, I mean, what am I, you know, how am I going to survive if I don't have my internet and my technology? And the other things you think of in terms of adapting and climbing those, you know, hiking and doing some of the things that you probably have to do and being in that sort of weather, you know, especially with someone like me who lives in, you know, we live in a temperate region. So just the change, how am I going to fit in? I don't know. I may survive it, I may not, but the point is you've done it and you know firsthand what that feels like, and I think that's amazing. So here's, let's do something, Gabriella. How about we go take a quick, let's take a quick commercial break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back. Okay, this is still The Naked Tuck. Welcome back, and my name is Alex Okorochi, and I'm coming to you live all the way from Lagos, Nigeria, in the heart of Africa. And yes, just before we went on that quick commercial break, with my very, I had the chat with my very special guest who's joining me live all the way from the UK, Gabriella Glianati. Oh my goodness, I love when I call her name. Jeez, I feel so exotic, like it's crazy. Well, we've been talking about her journey into Antarctica and just experience and why she did it and just the things that she's learned and some of those things she has documented in her book, Antarctic Odyssey, A New Beginning. And, she shares a lot of that and, just some of those really incredible moments, experiences, and, lists of fears and all the things that she overcame. Hi, Gabriella. Hi.
Hello.
Welcome back. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. And you?
I hear you. I hear you very well. So just before we went to that commercial break, we've been talking and you did, share a little bit about, just what's in your book and why you put that book together and documented your, experience. But let me ask you this. I know that you've created a virtual space called The Flying Inspiration, right? You have a website called The Flying Inspiration, and you've been doing a little bit of consultancy and coaching, and you've been using that place to basically empower. Oh, let me not speak on your behalf, but really, what is The Flying Inspiration? What is this space about? What is this virtual space about? What is The Flying Inspiration?
My logo is, my motto, sorry, is A Flying Inspiration, uh-huh. A space where you can explore your inner potential. And what is this inner potential? Uh-huh. Mainly, I help women discover the beauty of their cycle, their female cycle. And I deal with this subject, which is pretty taboo to these days, unfortunately. And it can be considered, something that you can't even mention. And in some places it's called the curse. Uh-huh. And actually it's just the opposite. Uh-huh. Because if you think about it, it's the tool that actually allows life to go on, on the planet. So it's an amazing a tool that women have, but they don't know about it, they don't use it, and unfortunately, sometimes in some places they are considered as outcasts because of it.
Yeah, and now that you talk about this, that's really true. I kind of feel like I can't imagine you being in a public space imagine someone sitting in a public space and just wanting to have a conversation or run a conversation about their, their menstrual or female cycle, as we would say, because it would just seem like you're probably going to irritate the people there, right, or upset them or offend their senses. Why is that, though, really? Why do we have such a... Why does society, smirk at that? Why do they have such such an external... what's the word? I'm trying to find the right word for that. Why resistance to the... Yeah, you're going to say something, sorry.
Well, Alex, it simply is a taboo. And these days, maybe not even sex is a taboo anymore. Even if the fact that is so much talked of a subject, I mean sex, that doesn't mean that it's not a taboo anymore. But menstruation is still the last frontier, to be conquered. And yes, it's moving, it's changing. This year there was a cover of Newsweek with a tampon talking about menstruation. But hopefully things will change slowly, slowly. But it's only, I think, in the hands of women, because every woman is linked to all her sisters in the world by this, because we all experience the same thing every month, and it's through that theme that basically life reproduces itself. So it should be considered a sacred aspect of womanhood. And it is, and it was considered as such in the past. But in the last few thousands of years, or at least in certain parts of the world, is definitely not considered a sacred, precious thing that women have, just the opposite. So it's my intent to reverse the curse, because I think there is a lot of power in it, and that's why possibly it's been repressed, it's been tabooed, it's been considered like that for a long, long time. And it's just down to us, women, you know, to claim back the beauty of our body and the mysteries, the feminine mysteries. There's so much talks, feminine mysteries, you know, that always been around the planet. But, you know, there were possibly the knowledge of few people in certain times, in certain civilizations. And I think it's time now for women all around the world to change things, to shift and, you know, make patriarchy something of the past. You know, it's time for the new, I think. That's why I said, first and foremost, I feel I think I am a visionary.
Yes, you are. Definitely in that sense. I mean, you're definitely championing a cause that not many women, you know, are bold enough to champion. But, you know, just while you were saying what you were saying, and, you know, I do have, you know, a couple of things popped into my head. And I agree with you that, you know, sometimes we think it's a curse. You know, I've maybe not thought it was a curse, but, I mean, there are days you're like, oh my God, I don't want to see this thing today. Why today? You know, like, right? I've had that feeling like, oh my God, not today. Why did you stop today? You know, and I've had like a crazy circle as well. Like sometimes, you know, there's one, I think after I have my baby, and then I'm thinking, why am I saying this thing twice in a month? Like it shouldn't even be once, or, you know, so I guess we experience different things and we see differently, and we have several maybe misunderstanding about this circle, or not as enough understanding or enough value for, like you said, the gift that it is. And so I guess it's necessary and it's needed what you're doing to be able to enlighten women more to understand it. And I'm looking forward to learning more. But let me ask you, you know, and talking about the female circle, I know that you refer to it as, you know, you talk about the womb wisdom. I don't know what that is, and I want to know what that is. But while you were saying this, and I, you know, I know that you do want to, was there something that triggered you being very interested in just this, you know, female, you know, in the concept of the female circle and, you know, the womb wisdom and all of this? Is there something that triggered, did you have a personal experience that made you want to know so much more and learn so much more, and then want to give back that information or give back all the insights that you've gained? But that's something that triggers that. Did you have a personal experience?
Yes. I just want to make sure, are you saying the female cycle, not the circle? Because circles are something.
Cycle, yeah, cycle.
Okay.
Cycle.
Yeah, okay.
Cycle.
Because I'm happy to talk about female circles as well, but let's start with A, then we go to B and C. So why did I end up in dealing with something so strange, you might ask? And my answer is the following. I was never handed over by any of the women in my family anything about it. Intuitively, very young, when I started menstruating, I started tracking my cycle, meaning writing in a little book that I still have, you know, the start day of every cycle. But that was it. It was, I don't know why I did it that, you know, just pure intuition. So obviously that was there something for me. I was born with, in somehow, it was latent in my mind, God knows. But the trigger of it all was that in 2005, between 2005 2009, I went through a lot of stress in my life. You mentioned earlier I faced at the same time a career change, a work redundancy, a divorce, and basically I didn't have any social connection any longer from one day to another one, or if not in very short period of time. So maybe sometimes people crumble, you know, stumble just with one of those changes. I had them all together, so it was tough to say the least, and that stress interfered with my cycle, which is the most sensitive system in a woman's body. And so of course I was bound to have an effect, you know, because of the stress. So not immediately, but a couple of years later I started having a very erratic cycle, and so I realized that I had to explore, to investigate this department of mine. Previous to that I never had any problem with my cycle in general. But I also knew that normal medicine wouldn't possibly bring the answers to my questions, because I had been into alternative medicine since my early 20s. So I knew that just going to a normal gynecologist wouldn't have sorted anything out. So I kind of put a request to the universe or higher divine presence or whatever you prefer to call it, to please send me something that would help me out with this. And as we are always heard and always send what we ask for, a few years later I came across this lady called Alexandra Pope, that British origin, but she lived for over 20 years in Australia, and now she is back in UK. And I came across, seemingly by sheer coincidence, I received an email in my inbox with a advertising this conference call about wisdom of menstruation. And I thought, oh, what a good omen, just what I needed. And so I listened in, and then I was hooked, and I decided to go to her workshop. And that day, for me, it was the moment of no return, or the moment of, you know, when everything changes. And why? Because I realized my life calling, this desire that I always had to empower women. But besides that, the first thing that I realized was that if I had had that information when at the beginning of my menstruating years, my life as a woman would have been really different. And so I did have a few seconds or a couple of minutes of feeling grief, you know, because why didn't I have that before? But then I realized I couldn't go into the time machine and go back in time. And so what could I do? Just do something to prevent other women sitting in my seat maybe in the future, you know? And so I just decided to support Alexandra for some time. And then I went solo, meaning I started finding ways on my own to basically spread the message. And so this was the triggering thing that made me end up on this path, on the blood path, so to speak, you know. It's basic knowledge, but it's very powerful. Like everything in nature is basic, simple, but works. And it has a good test business success rate, you know, of billions of years. So we have all to learn from nature. And, you know, women in general, and I'm in this big group, we've been conditioned for so long. So what it should be something normal, natural, and so we should learn very early on how to flow with our flow, literally. It doesn't happen because of society being run by men for a long time. So everything that is female, and in that there's also menstruation, is something of no interest. It's something that disrupts, is the disruptor. And actually it's not, it's the creator. So for a woman being in sync with her flow and getting to know herself in the different energies that the cycle takes her every month is very important. Otherwise the woman doesn't evolve, it doesn't become whole, you know. And at the moment of menopause, instead of reaping all the benefits of the wisdom that she should have accumulated over the years, she has problems. Uh-huh. And this is what so many women in Western society have, you know. And not only the Western society, but because patriarchy, I mean the rule of man is pretty overwhelming all over around the planet. But I mean in some cultures more than in others, you know, the man vision of life has prevailed more than in others. So.
Very true. Very true. Okay, you know, while you were speaking, and I know that you probably get to, you know, consult and coach quite a number of people. And just before we, you know, we go to that, I see some of you, if you want to be part of this conversation, don't forget that you can tweet at Alex Kurgin, hashtag The Naked Talk, and of course your conversation, your comments will be read on the show, or you can leave a message in the, you know, live chat room, or send a WhatsApp message, and of course if you have a question, maybe something you want to ask Gabriella, or me, or something you want to say, or if you want to speak, don't forget to use your hand raising if I press 1. So we know that you want to speak and join this conversation, and we'll let you join it. But sorry, you know, back to you, Gabriella. You know, just while you were speaking, you know, I wanted to know, what would you say is the common, like, recurring struggle that, you know, some of the women that you get to speak with, you know, come to you for advice for as regards their female cycle or their menstrual cycle? What is the thing that, you know, what are the things that they're dealing with, or what would you say is one of the most common issues that women are dealing with regarding their cycle?
Okay, I think the commonest thing is that women have lost their inner authority, and they don't listen to it. And what is this inner authority? If you grow, you know, through the years, and you become a woman, and you are in sync and organically thriving in your body, you respect it, and whenever your body gives you signals that you need to move, you move, you need to rest, you rest, you need to do your things, you know, go for your goals, you do it. Or if you have to review stuff, you just do it. It becomes one thing that is in line with yourself, and everything flows. But when there isn't this synchronization, what happens is there is the conditioning that can be caused by our education, our family's history or habits, you know, schooling, societal conditioning, religious conditioning is a big one, and so forth. So what happens is that women have totally lost this connection, and the connection with the body also means listening to your intuition. So the biggest damage is the fact that the woman doesn't know anymore that she's got authority, meaning she knows what is good for her, and as a consequence, within time, it would be good also for her children, her spouse, or whoever is close friends, etc. And so what happens is, instead of being in this, thriving in this world of where she's at cause of everything, you know, she becomes a victim. And by becoming a victim, it's almost like she feels that everything is done to her, and she forgets her power. She doesn't even conceive anymore that she's got power. She doesn't even know who she is anymore. And then you might ask me, well, then how that relates with the cycle? Very simply and very, very well. Because if you, during the month, you a woman goes through four different energies, okay, and this, an example of it could be explained with the season of the year. Now, if you see a cherry tree in spring, you have a very different impression of the same tree during winter. If you see it in winter, you might think, oh, it's barren, you know, it's not appealing. If you see it in spring, it is full of blossoms, and if you see it in summer, it is full of cherries, succulent cherries. Now, a woman who is not in tune with this four season, you know, might think she is just the winter, or she might think that she would like to be in spring, but she can't be all year round, and so she start having problems. They can be psychological, emotional, physical, and then anyway, they are all related because we are complex being that, you know, are formed by all these parts. And so it means that, you know, she is messed up. She is confused. She doesn't know who she is anymore. She would like to rest because she feels her body is really demanding rest, but she can't because she has all these things to do. And then if she rests, what the husband might think, or the neighbor, or God knows. And then she might be, you know, feeling the call to go for her initiative and her ideas and projects or whatever, but she doesn't because she has maybe a family to look after, she's got maybe old parents to look after, or God knows what else, you know, she might have to work and a job that she doesn't like, etc., etc. These are simply simple example taken from everyday's life. And the thing is, you see, if you don't know that you have this this potential in you where you can be all those four seasons and you don't respect them and you don't flow with them every month, it means that you burn out, and once you burn out you don't blossom anymore. So for you it's always autumn and winter, it's never spring or summer anymore, and you might start thinking there's something wrong with you. Actually, there's nothing wrong with you, but you don't know. And then you go to a normal doctor who will fill you up with drugs, and that never really resolve the problem, and so forth. So, to answer your question is, inner authority. Women don't have, are not connected with the inner authority anymore. And so that's the problem, the commonest problem of all of us.
Wow, you know, I was just listening to, you know, just the four seasons and how that sort of connects to our inner circle. And like you said, women are not connecting to their inner authority. You know what, Gabrielle, how about let's take another quick break, one last break, and, you know, one musical break, and we'll be back. Now, this is Maybe by Peter Kelly. Oh, it sounds like Peter Kelly owns the show today. And this is Maybe by Peter Kelly. And I'm sure that some of us have felt, you know, maybe, maybe not about our female circle and, you know, about flying. But we'll be back. And if you're just tuning in, well, this is still the Naked Talk with Alex Kurji. And yes, you're listening to the Queen of Expression and coming to you live out of Lagos, Nigeria, the heart of Africa. We've been having such an interesting conversation with my very special guest, Gabriella Guglielmo Minotti Rivel. I love it every time I say it. And she's joining us live from the UK. She's been such an excellent guest, you know, just staying up awake with us. And if you know anyone who's missed this conversation or, you know, who didn't join us live tonight, make sure that, you know, you let them, you know, invite them to listen to the archive show. It's going to be archived. You can catch the archive show right here at the radio channel or any of our syndicated radio networks or syndicating on 10 networks, global networks around the world. And yes, you can catch Naked Talk even if you miss it live. So please, please, please. I mean, I think that there's just a lot of stuff that Gabriella has share on the show, and we definitely need to learn. So learn about definitely about our female cycle or our feminine cycle, as well as you know, just the womb wisdom, and you know, claiming our authority. And she shared quite a bit about that. But yeah, I think we received some questions from listeners. Some of you sent in questions, and we were trying to collate that during the musical break. Hi, Gabriella. Hi, welcome back. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Alex.
Welcome back. So just before we went on that musical break, I mean, you did talk a little bit about, you know, our authority and how, you know, women do not... how we've lost our authority. We're not connected to our authority, and you shared quite a bit about that. Now, I have some questions from you, actually, from listeners, like two questions that have been sent in from two listeners. I think you were trying to... So there's one for you, and I'm going to read it out. Are you there? Can you hear me? So this one is coming from Barry. Barry says, "Hi, Gabrielle. It's nice. Thank you." You know, she says, you sound very nice. I love your accent. I want to get your insight. I haven't seen my menstrual cycle in 15 years, and it bothers me a lot. I am now 28, and last time I saw it, I only saw it for 1 year when I was 13 plus. And I've gone for a series of tests with the doctor, and they say my uterus is small. But it bothers me because I feel like I might never have a child. What would you advise me to do? How do I get over this? Or do you have any suggestion for how I can manage this situation? I'm so unhappy."
Yes, I have a suggestion. Menstrual awareness does wonders. And just the fact of reconnecting with this basic awareness will help you. And it can bring back your menstrual cycle. Of course, I don't know your history, and we should talk. I do offer a free 30 minutes discovery call. So I would suggest that you apply for one first, and then we have a chat and we see what we can do. But I can say that it's very common for women who might have had for long periods of time problems, menstrual problems, all sorts of them. It doesn't matter. You know, whenever you are in pain, or you are, in your case, you are lacking your menstrual cycle, or for some women it's just the opposite, the menstrual cycle being there all month long, you know. It's basically a signal of an imbalance, of something that is out of sync. And the first thing is to reacquaint yourself with what possibly you might never have been acquainted in the first place. So to understand first what in a normal woman happens every month. And that by itself, it will change things in you. And then the fact of tracking your cycle, which means to pay attention to what to happens in you, in your body, in your mind, in your heart, meaning your emotions, every day, it helps to start discovering more about yourself. Because I can speak for hours and talk about the four different seasons of a woman and go in details, etc., etc. But bottom line, it won't have any meaning until you, Barry, or any woman in this case, who wants to have more knowledge or who wants to solve a problem, until this you, meaning woman in general, don't reacquaint yourself with your body. Because, you know, anybody can tell you everything. It can be also a doctor. But bottom line, if you are not experiencing it, if you are not seeing what happens in you, you know, nothing changes. What's in it for me? That's the question we all have underneath it all. And that's the important thing, is to, you know, I can guide a woman into on this path, on this journey, but the woman has to do the work. I call it work because I don't know what else to call it. It's not real work. For me, it's a pleasure, you know, but let's call it work because it's something that you have to do within yourself. It's like, you know, in anything you do in life, you know, you have to study or to work at a project, whatever it is. It means that every day you do a bit, right? And so you become an expert. And that's my invitation to women, you know, to make the effort of reacquaint themselves with their body and the cycle and the cyclicity of our body in general, because it has so many rewards. It really does have many rewards. But until the woman starts seeing the changes, starts seeing the benefit, you know, it can sound all very academic. So I would invite Barry to contact me and apply for discovery call.
Okay, thank you. You know, so Barry, I know you're listening right now and you listen to everything that Gabriella said. So you definitely need to connect with her and, you know, as she said, apply for a discovery call. I hope that, you know, in the meantime, she's been able to, at least she can start from there and then, you know, Gabriella might be able to help you resolve some of the issues, you at least, you know, the way you feel about it. Okay, so, you know, Gabriella, so if Barry wants to connect with you, where would she go to? Does she go to your website or social media? Where would she connect with you
to apply
for the discovery call?
It's very simple. Going to my website, which is flyinginspiration.com, she or any woman can find all the information about myself. They can contact me directly through the website, or they can find my email address, they can find my telephone number, they can find the social media links. So they just have to click on the links, for instance, and connect with me on Facebook. It's really a one-stop place to go where you can find all sorts of things. By the way, also on the website, they can find articles, interviews, they can find videos, and it's all free. So, you know, they not necessarily they have to spend money.
And that's great. So you have no excuses. Make sure to go to flyinginspiration.com so that you can connect to her. Now, I know that we've been talking for so long and we have to let you go. It's about an hour already. Almost about an hour or so. I mean, it's more than, you know, we've been on, but basically talking, and you shared so much about this, and I know that lots of people are going to be curious, and I guess this is an ongoing conversation, because, you know, we probably can't learn everything today, right? But at least we started the conversation, because it's true, you know, I don't think we really got an education about our menstrual cycle. It's like, you know, you're just told what you're supposed to do when it comes. But nobody really tells you whether to embrace it and how to embrace it or how to feel about it. So this is all new. This is new for me as well. I'm trying to take in everything that you're saying, Gabriella, I swear. So, but this is, you know, such a great conversation. Now let me ask you this, and I know that we have to let you go very soon, because it's probably late to run, you know, in London as well as here. But what is the one thing that you do every day? I mean, we're talking about being a flying inspiration now, but what is the one thing that you do that takes you closer to your goal? You know, something that you do every day that takes you closer to becoming, you know, that flying inspiration.
Yeah.
You know, that maybe somebody else can apply. Yeah.
Yeah, well, what I already shared, I do track my cycle. Mm-hmm. I am still blessed by my cycle, which I call my best friend, and so I'm still menstruating, so I'm still tracking my cycle. So I, you know, keep this connection.
Wow.
I keep this connection alive, and so I do walk on my talk, and that's it keeps my balance, and I. You know, it's almost like have a direct link with my inner center. That's what I do every day. But also that I try to do as much as I can is to connect with nature every day. So, yeah, maybe like today it's been raining heavily all day, so maybe I skip my walk, but I will maybe have a double walk tomorrow when it should be sunshine, right? So that it's something that, again, it's like my menstrual awareness. It keeps me sane and brings me inspiration. So if I keep being inspired, hopefully I will be a flying inspiration and also finish my flying license that I would really like to finish as soon as possible. But besides that, that's my hobby, of course. My invitation is for women is to really keep in the forefront of their mind that we are not just our mind, we are also our body, and our spirit lives in our body, which is its house, right? So if we keep the connection between the two, you know, we are in balance, we are happy, and when we are in balance and happy, of course, it's very easy to inspire others besides ourselves, because we have to inspire first and foremost ourselves.
Absolutely. This has been such a great conversation, Gabriella. It's been a pleasure having you on the show, and just, you know, to have you share so much about, you know, being a flying inspiration and what that means to you and what that means to us as well, and how we can sort of be connected to our, you know, more intimate self, if I will call it that, and, you know, for us to build our own wisdom, you know, wisdom around our circle and the power that we have, you know, in, you know, just having that or being blessed with that. And I guess, you know, for me personally, just listening to it, to what you've said and just the conversation, I feel like, yeah, you know, maybe we take certain things for granted. I mean, think about it, like, what happens, you don't, for those of us who are like, oh my God, why today? Why is this coming today? And think about the one time maybe you're pregnant and it doesn't come, or maybe you're not even pregnant, but it doesn't come. But you still worry because you wish it was there, right? So I guess, you know, this is really an awareness that we probably need to have and probably need to track and probably need to, you know, be more conscious of and more connected to, and, you know, it's a pleasure to have you share that with us. But I know we have to let you go now, it's, you know, pretty late, but, you know, I look forward to inviting you back again on the show some other time, maybe when we're having one of those roundtable conversations, you know, with more people, and we can talk some more about this. How about that?
It would be lovely. Yeah, I would love to continue the conversation. It's a bigger subject, so there's so much to say, and I would be so happy to answer questions too.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Now, where can people connect you? I know there's your website, you mentioned it earlier, but you're on social media, where do you hang out on social media? Your Twitter, Facebook, where can people find you and follow you?
I am on major social media, meaning YouTube, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Google Plus, I'm on Skype, and they can find all the other links on my Contact Me page on flyinginspiration.com. It's a one-stop website, really, so they can find all the links there. But it's very easy, it's almost impossible not to find a way to contact me, so there's no excuse for women to connect with me if they want to make their cycle their best friend.
Absolutely. And so you've heard it all from her. If you want to make, you know, your cycle your best friend, not if you want to, you should make your cycle your best friend. So definitely you can connect with Gabriella. She's on every major social media. And you can just go to her website. Go to flyinginspiration.com and click on her contact page, and then you can get all the links that you need to basically, you know, connect with her. So this has been such a pleasure, Gabrielle, and I, you know, wish you so much, I wish you great success being a flying inspiration, right? And of course, maybe I will, you know, maybe we'll get to talk, we'll definitely stay in touch. We'll definitely stay in touch. Thank you so much for being such a great guest.
Thank you so much for having me, Alex. And thank you so much. I never heard so my surname being spoken so well so many times. You know, normally the interviewers, they freeze, and they just start mumbling, and all sorts of things happen when they see my surname. So I have to congratulate you for announcing it so well and so many times. I never felt so cold, so many times called and honored. Thank you.
Oh my God, thank you so much. Oh my God, I did a great job, right? You know, you worry about the things that happen, but I try not to worry about it because I'm African, I get it past. Like, you know, even if I make a mistake, like, I have an accent, so hey. But I love it, like, it sounds so cool. It feels like my first, you know, when you're a baby, you have that first word. It feels like my first word into, you know, I know you have an Italian heritage, you're Italian also. So it feels like my first mumble to iterate the Italian language. I love your name. Thank you so much, Gabrielle. Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Sweet dreams.
Okay, guys. If you...
Unmuted.
If you're just tuning in, and maybe you've been tuned in, or you're just tuning in, that was such a great conversation with my very special guest who is joining me live all the way from the UK. Yes, she is an author, a speaker, a female psychoconsultant, right? And it was a pleasure to chat with Gabriella Guglielminotti. Oh my goodness! Oh, I love it. Anyway, that was just an amazing show, and yes, you know, it's a wrap for this week on The Naked Talk with Alex Kersey. If you missed the show, or, you know, if you joined too late, or you joined in the middle of the show, or you missed, you know, the conversation, or you're just tuning in, or you know someone who missed it, don't forget that they can come back here, right here on the radio channel, and click and listen to the Archives Show with Gabrielle. And there's so much to learn, so much wisdom. There's always wisdom every week in the show. Well, so we'll come back same time next week on The Naked Talk on Talk Wednesday. I'm going to be here with Beth Baining in a conversation with God, and that would be really interesting. And of course, our Friday radio special, we've got Frederick Bolli, who's joining us live all the way from Canada. So yes, I've got Beth Baining from California on Talk Wednesday and a Friday radio special, Frederick Bolli. So until we come back same time next week on The Naked Talk, don't forget that expression is a sign of strength and not weakness. And I love you for listening. Ciao.